This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I wanted to change the direction of the show today because I wanted to talk about rhetoric and, you know, the fact that a lot of language is being used to control people. We talked about this, I think it was last week or the before last on the show, about words and the power of words. And, you know, I'm watching this whole election season unravel, if you want to put it that way, and it's obvious that we're going to be in for several months of a divide and conquer, bait and switch. And I just wanted people to really have a way or some handle or some tools they could use, know that when they're being manipulated, to stop the process. And this is I think it's cookie cutter technique. I don't know if it's an Alinsky technique or what it is, but anything that you can do to make somebody's emotions, to drive them, to make you somehow identify with what's going on, whether it's in your interest or not, they tend to be able to control the narrative and make it seem as if people are following along, even when it makes no sense. Even when common sense, if you had it, you would laugh at some of the things that come out of people's mouths. But people, you know, are tending to go along with it. I mean, Dave, have you heard? I don't know if you heard this. I just heard this yesterday, that somebody tried to kill Donald Trump at one of his rallies. Did you hear that?
Yeah, just a little bit of it. It sounded like, you know, I don't know the details, and I don't know. It didn't sound that serious in its own way, you know?
It actually was. I mean, it was an illegal immigrant from the UK who was plotting to kill him for about a year. And he was driven by this hate rhetoric, which makes no sense. You know, the typical, he's a racist, KKK, blah, 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 hates women, the whole rhetoric that goes on with this meme in the media, and he was driven by that. So for all those of us who think that, you know, this is, you know, the rhetoric is really out there, nothing's going to come of it, there's a lot of people it's a dog whistle for. That's why they say these things, and that's why it's important to take a step back and start to really use your common sense and to, you know, call it out for what it is. It's hate speech, but it's on the left side. Now, if it comes from the right, everybody's on it. They seem to get a pass on it on the left, and they do it all the time. And it's all about shutting you down. If you have an opinion, you're racist, sexist, homophobic, you know, they should, but they don't. Or, you know, you're against foreigners. That's what they do. That is their playbook, and they're using it 24/7. I mean, I heard one of the Joy Behar, the comedian on ABC, blame the shooting in Orlando on Donald Trump. How is that possible? But nobody puts out the fact that this the terrorist was a Democrat, a Hillary Clinton supporter, you know, a progressive, technically. That doesn't come out at all. It's just the fact that it's all Donald Trump's fault. And nobody says anything. I mean, well, I guess people are saying it, but they never get on TV to say it. But this is what's going to go on for the next several months. I mean, I don't want to listen to this, and it's making the country unsafe, literally. And there's attacks going on all over the country. There's a child that's been raped in Utah, and she was an 8-year-old raped by 3 immigrants or migrant Muslim children, 8 to 13 years old, and the community wasn't even told about it. And when they found out, they went to their council in their state, and they just basically said, we didn't know. How do you not know? You're letting people into the country who have a different set of values than we do. They do. We need to own up to that. It's not a value statement. It's a true statement. And to keep people in the dark, disarm them, blame them for crimes that are committed against them is really just beyond the pale, in my opinion. What's yours, Dave?
You know, I take everything and look at it in disbelief. And as far as the immigration laws go, and they need to be changed. And I, you know, a lot of people are critical on the idea of the wall or the idea of stopping all Muslims. I must say, I think we need to step back. And the way you step back is by stopping everything. You clean it up, then you start again. And we have to realize that what's going on, and it's all, you know, it's like the like all of this stuff coming out from Orlando about the we shouldn't have military weapons, we shouldn't have the ability to bomb. That's an AR-15. One, it's a semi-automatic. It's not an assault weapon. You know, the weapons themselves, I think I heard that 90 million people in the United States own AR-15s. So let's get our story straight, you know? And I'm sick and tired of idiot media people coming on the air and talking about things that they don't know what they have no clue. That includes immigration. That includes weapons. And I can't remember if it was us, Dr. George, or I was talking to somebody else. And this sounds terrible, but there were more people killed in Chicago last weekend than in Orlando.
That's exactly what I mean by language, though. It's only to drive a behavior. It's not about really doing what it says it's doing. I mean, this is... I actually went and looked up what an AR-15 and AK-47 are. And it's when you say semi-automatic, I didn't really understand what that meant, so I looked it up. It's a rifle. It shoots one bullet at a time, like a regular rifle.
That's
not shooting thousands of bullets at a time. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that's just a rifle. That's not such a big deal. But that's what people need to do. Stop taking the word of the media and start doing your own research. You are complicit in the system if you just go along with the rhetoric. How does someone like Joy Behar get to drive a narrative who has no clue about what's going on except it's okay for them, but it's not okay for you? This is the hypocrisy of this whole thing. If you really just distill it down to truth versus rhetoric, it is completely the opposite. Just like those bills they pass in Congress where they call it, you know, some sort of act, but the actual outcome is the opposite of what they say. And we're just sitting here going along with the system. I think for anybody who's a reasonable thinking person would say, well, why would I want to give up my ability to protect myself when it took the police 3 hours to storm the building, when there are stories out there of an Uber driver who saved people because he was a concealed carry permit person, and he thwarted a crime and saved somebody. And then Uber, I think, passed some sort of rule that no driver can carry a gun. Hell, I would feel safer in an Uber car with somebody who could protect me because the cops aren't there to do that.
You know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Dr. George, to use one of your terms, I'd like to dissect Orlando for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
A friend and I were talking about this, and, you know, oh, my God, the carry laws, and that was a safe zone and all this. You know, had one person, and I got an article sent to me this morning, as a matter of fact, and I thought back of 9/11 and the flight that went into Pennsylvania. Those people took action. Now, if one or five or 10 people at the nightclub had taken action,
Yeah. You
made a good point. And the point is that an AR-15, semi-automatic, one bullet at a time, I don't know how many magazines he had, but at some point he has to stop shooting, reload, put in a new magazine. By the same token, he was on the telephone, and I don't know how good you are that you're shooting people and you're talking on the phone at the same time, but he had to be distracted. So if one or two or 10 people in that nightclub had gotten together and said, let's charge him, the worst thing that could happen is we get killed. But they were getting killed anyway. So what have you got to lose if you're in a situation? Now, if you're armed, you have a carry permit, you're carrying, it's almost your responsibility to attack the attacker or the terrorist, as opposed to sitting there and hiding like a chicken.
Yeah.
So what would have happened if four or five guys at that club had attacked the shooter? How many lives would have been saved?
There's no doubt. Or heck, if there were a woman in that club who attacked the guy, it would have been a different outcome. It wouldn't have been that many people killed. One guy could not, he has to reload. His back has to be to somebody. But it's we are being indoctrinated from the time that we are in school to duck and cover, to shelter in place, to follow authority without question. That is what education system is creating. A very docile, a very hands off, a very it's not my problem type of society. That's where I think that's what we need to learn the lesson here. And the fact that the government would go in and really like dance on somebody's grave, except for I read some of the speech given by by Miss Lynch about you should fight this terrorism with love.
Yeah.
I want to see how that one works. But you know that's a Christian mentality. The Muslim mentality is if you're nice, or I should say the Islam, because if you read the Quran, this is not just a religion. It's a social justice or social system. It's an economic system. It's also it's a law. It's a legal system. It's not just a religion. That's what people need to do. They need to go and read what's going on with the Quran versus the Bible. We're very myopic about, oh, everybody's just like us. No, they are not. And it's not a value statement. It's a truth. Take your emotions out of it and start thinking about how you're going to protect yourself in a society where you have one hand behind your back and they want to make it two by taking away the Second Amendment. But I took a course in how to protect myself. I handled my business. It was a two-day course. A policeman was part of it. So he came in and he told us, he sat us down and told us, the police are not there to protect you. Okay, I know it sounds really wild. They are not. They are there to calm the situation, maintain order, and then see, after the dust settles, sift out who the good guy, who the bad guy was. Because our question was, if you're a concealed carry, you're in an active shooter situation, you neutralize the guy, what happens next? He said, when the police come through that door, they don't see you as a good guy. You better put your gun down, put your hands up, and step away from that gun because you're going to get shot. They don't know. They don't care. They're there to control the situation. If you know that as an American citizen, it changes your mindset on, hey, I need to protect myself because the cops aren't there to do that. They're there to control the situation. If you get protected in the meantime, that's awesome, but that's not the primary goal. And I've heard that the Supreme Court passed a law, or I should say, confirmed the law, that you cannot sue the police for, quote, not protecting you. Right? They're there to bring order, but their job is not to protect you as an individual citizen. If you know that, then that behooves you to put yourself in a situation where you have the ability to protect you and your family and your person. Thank God we live in Georgia where you can actually have the ability to have a weapon if you want to. And I have to say, I've never heard anything go on at Kennesaw. Have you?
No.
I mean, that's the perfect city to use. All these people talking about, it's so unsafe. People shoot people all the time if they have legal weapons. Well, they have a law in Kennesaw. You have to carry a weapon. It's by law in their...
Not carry. You have to have a weapon in your home. It's not okay to carry, but
okay. Well, you have to have a weapon, but in Georgia, that could be in your car, in your office, in your home. I don't hear a thing go on up there. So ultimately, we need to stop thinking or stop taking the bait. Not everybody has to carry a gun. That's not what I'm saying. But if you choose to legally, nobody has the right to tell you. You have to be a sitting duck in a gun-free zone where it's easy pickings. It's crazy.
With that, let's take our first break, Dr. George, if that's okay with you.
Sure. You're listening to Citizen on Call.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage, and we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, speaking again of the Orlando shooting, this, again, we're being victimized by the media. You need to go outside the box, go online, and start looking at alternative media sites, because it turns out, unlike what Ms. Lynch was saying about love somebody, the people, the gay community in Orlando have armed themselves. The AR-47s or AK-47s, whatever they're called, they're flying off the shelves down there. People are going to gun ranges. People are buying guns because they realize, and they said so. If you look at what some of the quotes were, we need to protect ourselves. Thank goodness. This is a group of people or a group of people in our country who really are at the mercy, are perceived to be at the mercy of whoever wants to come and hurt them. And it's not by loving somebody, it's by being a hard target that makes you safe. Someone's going to think first now before they go in and try to attack a gay club, especially in Orlando. And that's good for them. It's awesome. I'm glad. I hope people, that's the message should be taken from this. If you sit there and hope that somebody won't come and hurt you, if you're in that situation, you have to be able to protect yourself. Or better yet, not be in that situation. I really, after that, I don't go into crowds necessarily anyway, but I really have second thoughts about going to anywhere where it's going to be lots of people, where there's only one exit. Never. You know, all those things that you have to think about before, what if? Because the government is not in a position of protecting us. If the State Department turned down or stopped an investigation into that mosque when that mosque was spewing hate and anti-gay rhetoric, then, I mean, just it's a double standard. Had that been, you know, a church, trust and believe, that would have been shut down ages ago. But this is a double standard. I don't have a problem with freedom of speech, freedom to associate, etc., but when it's only given to one segment of the society and everybody else has to fall in line, that's where I have a problem. So this imam gets on TV, he's like, kill gays, throw them off roofs, shoot them, and there's other things floating around the internet of other moderate Muslims that believe the same thing. 51% of Muslims in our country, and probably a higher percentage in the UK, are on board with Sharia law. They want that. They think it's a good thing. And that means that your rights, your privileges as an American citizen have to take a back seat to that. That's what we're looking at. You know, we're seeing Sharia creeping into our society. I think I talked last a couple weeks ago about the mayor of London, you know, pronouncing a decree that the advertising in the public railways and bus stations have to remove pictures of suggestive pictures of women, you know, or advertisements. That's Sharia. And he just gets to pass it and everybody else has to go along with it. What happened to a free society? You know, if I emigrate somewhere, I want to try to adopt the mores and norms of the country that I'm going to. I want to speak the language of the country that I'm going to. I'm not trying to impose my will on somebody else. And that's what's going on. There are no-go zones, enclaves. People are being dropped into the country where we have no idea who they are, where they're going, and what happens to them when they enter. This doesn't even make sense. And this guy who shot up the Orlando nightclub actually worked for a company whose job it is to transport immigrants into the country by the truckload. That's a busload, and just drop them off. How fair is that? Even if you are for our country coming in or having people come into our country, you know, illegally, how fair is it to drop them off, clothes on their back, somewhere they don't even speak the language, in a country they have no idea what's going on? How fair is that to them? What happens to those people? And for the people making money on them, you know, making their $7,000 per family of three, are you just there for the money? How are you vetting these people? Just because some church says it's a good place to foster people? I have a problem with this. I really do. And you are creating an underclass of people who potentially are angry, disenfranchised, and they hate us, and they want to take revenge. And it may not even be a religious aspect of it. It's just social. You let a child off into our country without protection, they're going to become an adult at some point. We need to think about the long haul of this. And let's fix what's making these children, these adults, want to leave their country. Why all of a sudden is there some sort of onslaught into the United States? What's going on in South America? What's going on at our border that's making us, you know, well, I know why, because we have a great social system, social network. But what is about these countries that's making them so unstable, making them fail states, that they're creating this wave of immigration? What's going on? No one ever talks about that. It's all social justice nonsense. And these people don't care about the welfare of the people coming in. They just want to win at all costs. They just want to impose their will on us. But it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it, Dave?
No. And just to throw this out, Michael Connelly's, and I assume on his show today, Our Constitution, he'll be addressing it more. The gentleman in Orlando was employed by a company called G4S. Mm-hmm. And if you go to their website, it's a very questionable. They do a lot of contract work for Homeland Security and foreign governments. Very quiet. They used to be a company. They formerly were known as, I'm going to screw this up, Quackenbacher?
Quackenhut.
Yeah. So it's all very suspicious, to say the least. Michael Connelly's going to be, I'm sure he's going to be talking. He brought up the subject last week on his show, and I'm sure he's going to address it. And, you know, I guess what do I think? I think that what we've seen over the past 15, 20 years, there always seems to be more to the story than people like us are privileged to know. And I think that's true across the board with everything that's happened from 9/11 to the middle of the elementary school, Sandy, whatever it was.
Sandy Hook.
Yeah. I still question that, quite frankly. So how do I feel? I feel just like you do in some ways, that I got to take care of myself and to heck with the rest of the world.
Very much so. And in order to be able to care for everybody else, you have to have some base of safety and sanity in your own you're in your own world, in your own sphere. And they want desperately to make people feel unsafe, to make people anxious, to make them stop thinking and let the government handle it because they know it's best, or these groups through the government. I mean, this is all a network of interconnected working and pieces that are working together. How does the media not pick up on the, or publicize, the mainstream media, that is, the fact that there's, you know, so many things that are not the way they said it was, and now the outcome is all about gun control. It's not that the people who experience this are actually are doing the opposite of what they want. They're arming themselves because they know that it's about personal safety. It's not about killing people. It's about being in a position where if somebody does come at you, you're not sitting, you know, sheltering in place. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. And again, the hypocrisy of this whole Shariaization of America is based on, if you have an opinion, you get shut down because you're against all Muslims. I'm not at all. But I don't want to be living in a situation or a system where I have to cover myself. I have to become a second-class citizen. This is how ironic this is. The mayor of London, perfect example, because, again, this could happen here in the United States. He had an anti-Brexit, I guess it was a rally to keep Britain as part of the EU. And of all the people there, you know, it's mostly Muslim, because I think UK or London is actually the percentage of people who are Muslim is pretty huge, actually. Mm-hmm. But the men were in front, and the women were in the back of this rally. Tell me one American woman that's going to really go and do something like that. I mean, think about this from a social standpoint, not from what they tell you, but actual. This starts to really creep in. Your rights as a woman are on the block. You're an object. You are a property in this system. What you say doesn't count. You know, you have to cover yourself up. I mean, are you kidding me? I like to see that happen in the United States. It's not going down like that. But the people who are on the forefront telling you you're wrong for having an opinion, you should just fall in line, all, you know, Islam is a religion of peace, blah, 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 all the rhetoric, I wonder if they've actually read the Quran or at least gone on sites and started looking at what's going on in Europe after all these changes have happened, after you have hundreds of people drop into a small hamlet where you become the person who is in a cage, and they're running the show. Ask people how that works. But they don't. They don't want you to know that because you would be up in arms about your country having open borders. And I don't have no problem with people who want to come in and want to be part of our system, our society, but this is not who we're bringing in. They don't want what we want. They just want to expand with who they are and take over our infrastructure socially, politically, and economically. You've heard of the yogurt Chobani, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's owned by I think it's a Turkish Muslim immigrant. And he is all for open borders. As a matter of fact, he put out a statement that he wants to have as many people, many Muslims come over as possible because he wants to hire them in his factory. And I think about 25% of his workers are these immigrants, migrants coming into the country. So the American citizens are being displaced in the workforce by this sort of thing. He's just very open about it. But he's encouraging all, you know, employers to hire these migrants. Well, we have an unemployment rate of how much, Dave? 16%? I mean, the real unemployment rate, not what they say it is, probably 20% in the African-American community. And people are getting to cut the corner, be pushed to the front of the line. We're all supposed to just like it. So it's almost like we're being outsourced in our own country.
That's it. With that, it's time to take our second break, Dr. George.
You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Buzz off with Lawyer Liz. Join me each week, Wednesdays at 2 o'clock, as we talk drones, Internet of Things, and technology.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together, we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is a hard show to have because it's not a topic that we normally cover, but it goes to the mind and the anxiety and the manipulation that's going on. I mean, if you fall into this, it just makes you perpetually angry or perpetually fearful. That's not a healthy mindset or space to be in. It's not. And, you know, I've taken to turning off the news. I haven't watched really a newscast in a year, not in years, but in this past year, the past 6 months or so, because it's gotten to be so driven by just following a meme. You know, the mantra was first, you know, people are joining Obamacare, it's working, it's awesome. Then it's the whole political unfolding of, you know, the meme that, you know, you're an insider, you're an outsider. It's draining, honestly. It's draining emotionally. It's draining psychologically. And if you're fragile or you don't feel, if you're not in a good space, this tends to push people over the edge. You know, and I don't know. I think that if you just take a step back, and my mantra is always, if you don't take care of yourself or your family, you can't take care of anybody else. And if it's not going to put food on your table, if it's not going to make you safer, then you need to withdraw your emotion from it. And none of these things that's going on are doing that. And there's just, it's so ghoulish to pile on and to try to manipulate the emotions of people at the time that they're living through something just so heinous. And to have it unfold the government on all fronts. The FBI had the guy pegged. They didn't do anything. State Department stood down. You know, the local society allowed this guy to be on TV. I mean, are you allowed, really, in this day and age to have, you know, internet channels, Facebook pages where you're spewing this sort of rhetoric? I mean, they'll shut down anything that's, you know, not progressive in a heartbeat. claiming that it's hate speech, but this goes on without being checked. That's my problem. You know, shut it all down. If you really are into, you know, stopping the flow of information, then you have to shut everything down, right, left, and in between, and not just things that make your narrative or challenge the narrative of, we want to bring in these poor people, we need to bring them in. You know, they need to come into society. In Sweden, you're supposed to give up your home for the migrants, and they've moved people out of their homes to house migrants. How does displacing people in their own country conducive to a cohesive society? And how does it not make people who are coming in feel special, entitled, privileged, and look down on the people that they're coming into the country that they're coming into? How does this work? And then you have the media campaign of, these people should be treated differently. They should be treated with more respect. Their way is better than our way. We should respect it, but we should just deny who we are as a people, as a religion, whatever it is that you are in this country. Before this onslaught has happened, you're supposed to just take it. That's not going to breed a lot of cohesiveness, in my opinion. And down the road, they're trying, I believe, to prevent disruption, violence, so that we can bring in, you know, order out of chaos. That's what they do. You know, it's problem, reaction, solution. I think you can see it every time there's a shooting. The solution is gun control. Get rid of the Second Amendment. You have people on, I think Roland Stone wrote an article about, they should just do it secretly. Just remove the Second Amendment secretly. Are we still living in the United States? That's my question.
Well, that's sort of like Obama putting out the order to take Under God out of everything.
Oh, when was this? I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. You can Google it. Yeah, he's all buildings and federal buildings and oaths and all oaths and anything where you have Under God, he signed an executive order to take it out of out of the system.
Was this recently?
Yeah, within the last, I'd say, month and a half.
Wow.
And
is it happening?
Pardon me?
Is it happening?
I suppose so. I haven't taken an oath or anything, but he's trying to get it taken out of our Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm surprised he allows people to say it at this point. I mean, this is the thing that's going creeping underneath all the rhetoric. While people are being distracted with, you know, their team. All this is happening, and it's the underpinning of society. It's being totally disrupted and removed. I mean, I think we really, really need to step back and take a look at this and take action. And silence is not the way to go about it. Turning the other cheek is not the way to go about it. And not having an opinion. And this is going to be a referendum in this election, whether you're for this globalist run government that's being, I guess, it's edicts from the UN that's being put into play in our country, and that's what the Democratic side offers, or you're for your country, and there's nothing wrong with that. Being for yourself doesn't make you against other people. It's not a bad thing. I don't understand how that rhetoric has rolled out. If you're American, you love the American flag, and you take a Pledge of Allegiance seriously, somehow that's hurting other people all of a sudden. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
I take offense to that. I'm not with that. You know, I don't wish bad on any other country, but I love the fact that I'm an American citizen. And there's nothing wrong with showing that. But they want to tamp that down. They want to somehow demonize that. And I think there's a silent majority out there of people who are not feeling this at all, but they're not sure exactly what to do. The first thing you do is stand up for your rights. You don't have to go and protest on the street, but withdraw your consent. You know, I don't like Chobani yogurt. I never did. It's bitter, so I don't eat it, but I can assure you, if it's the last yogurt on the shelf, I will not be picking that. So you can use your pocketbook to protest and to take a stand. You don't have to be vocal, but you can definitely use your pocketbook to do that. You know, again, withdraw your consent from whatever you're not feeling or you're not with. That's a very potent way to get the job done. That's why we have, you know, food products that are self-labeling non-GMO. And there are options now for organic food that weren't there before. And then the price is coming down. That's because a small percentage, I think it's 5% of people, changed their buying habits. They understand money. You stop buying all these products that are poison, they stop making them. Imagine that. Or they give you a choice. And if you choose wisely, I'm not saying organic is right for everybody, but if you make a conscious choice to do one thing a day that doesn't feed this system, the system will give. They depend on us to be docile, to shelter in place, to just go along. It's too hard to buck the system, so why try? Well, we're in a position now that it's life and death on many levels. And on the healthcare side, I know I've said this before, and people, I don't know if you understand or not, but we're part of a global healthcare system run by the World Health Organization. We were the last country to join the universal healthcare, socialized medicine track. In Canada, and again, eventually it will come to us, they just passed a law in their Senate that anybody can commit assisted suicide. And they wanted a part in here. There was a section with, thank God, got stripped out, that you did not have to have an imminent demise, that you weren't, that what you had wasn't a near-death diagnosis. So you can imagine all the seniors, God forbid, who had money, who had, a questionable relative, who thought they were going to benefit from it. They could euthanize or, assisted suicide, quote-unquote, somebody, and it would be within the law. You can imagine how that would play out. So this is a death system. It's not for health anymore, and that's what we're moving towards. It's making it easier to kill people, easier to deny care. It's not based on ethics anymore. It's based on money, and it's based on control, and it's based on you not having a choice to take care of your body and to hold it sacrosanct. Someone's there to shoot you full of a vaccine, pour pills down your throat, and when you're really in trouble, pull a plug on you. That's what the system's all about now. You have to make a decision quickly, especially if you're young and healthy, to start making changes in what you eat, what you drink. All these things actually matter. And as your senior, it matters what kind of, system that you're in, so that you have the power to take care of your own health. And I will always say, you have to have your pocketbook. You have to be able to control your pocketbook and not be dependent on the largesse of the government to help you. And that means medical cost sharing. That means AFLAC. That means whatever you need to do to have a pot of money or have a system set up that hey, I'm not going to go to the hospital. I'm going to go into assisted living if you can afford that. Or you're not in a system where, if the standard of care is different. Again, if you're paying for something, you have more power in the situation. The question is, what's best for you and your family to have the ability to do the payment? I choose medical cost sharing. People choose direct primary care, for example. Ultimately, the bigger the system, the worse care you're going to receive. You're just going to be a cog in a wheel and a means to an end for them.
With that, we've got to take our final break, Dr. George.
Okay. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this is time for folks to start to do your own research. Don't take what I say for the gospel, but it's time to, I hope it stimulates you to do your research, to go online, to start doing your own due diligence. I was looking for a website that I went to a while back that has a course on, an online course on understanding the Quran and deciphering the, you know, what's within it, so you can understand the mindset of someone who practices Islam. And especially someone who is taken to the more Sharia-centered portions of it, not a, you know, not the the people who are, I forget the call the term for it, but there are people who are the Christians. Now you are a Christian, but you're not practicing the most radical or conservative fundamentalist version of it, and you need to understand where these guys are coming from, because now they're in our country. They're pervading our and the total, all of Western society. And once, because we have an open society, once you have enough people and they have the ability to enter the political system, start voting for and voting in people who are like-minded, that's when we're going to start to see what's been bubbling under the surface. You know, laws that get passed, changes, you know, subtle changes in what you can say, how you dress, who you can associate with. Once that happens, it's too late. And it's not against anybody, but it's for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we need to take that, own that again, where I matter. You know, my rights matter. I don't have to give up my rights to make you feel better about yourself. I don't care if that's anything, the social justice people in college and all the folks who are picketing, or I should paid to go out there as fake opposition. I mean, I just wonder what happened to the feminists. And I think the argument really should be taken to heart that the progressives have, especially with the gay community, have chosen the side of Islam versus the gay community. This is it's going on all over the Middle East. People are being murdered, thrown off buildings, assassinated because they're gay. And you're asked to love somebody who hates you, who wants you dead, who preaches, especially in these mosques that are really vocal, anti-gay mosques. You're supposed to just turn the other cheek and let them do whatever and stand down and give up your right to protect yourself. How does that make it better? That's only encouraging them to do more. It's like making yourself a gun-free zone, which makes you easy pickings for people like this, emotionally, physically. You know, stop. You know, if it's not in your interest, it's not what they say your interest is. It's what it is for you and your family. I would feel very uncomfortable living in Orlando if I knew that people were actively spewing, kill this person, this is how you should do it, and you are doing God all his will for you to do something like that. That's a problem. Anybody else says that, they're picked up, you know, they get visited by the FBI, Homeland Security. This is not happening. This is being encouraged. And that, again, to go back to what happened with the person who tried to assassinate Donald Trump, there are elements of our society who are sensitive to this type of rhetoric and who will start acting out. There are attacks on Christians, Muslim attacks on Christians across the country. They're not being talked about. I think you said the last one was in North Carolina a few days ago. I read something where someone asked a guy for a cigarette, and a melee ensued, and these guys were beat almost to a pulp. And if the media doesn't put it out there, it doesn't mean it's not happening. And only when they want to highlight something that's going to enforce their agenda, that's what we're dealing with. If we don't watch it, that diffuses their power. If we stand up, and anybody who's been in a situation where this has happened to them, they need to actually put it out there, put it on Facebook, let people know what's going on so they have the power to make conscious decisions about whether they want to go somewhere or whether they want, how they want to protect themselves. If that's taken away from us, then that makes us even more vulnerable. That's my problem with this whole situation. I want to know what's going on so I can choose to help myself in any way I see fit. If that means I want to protect, you know, have the government protect me, so be it. If it's not, then I want all my rights so that I can choose what's best for me. I don't think that's a lot to ask.
Not at all. And more people, I say more people, everyone should have that attitude. And it's you know, the other thing that always comes into my thinking, it's not just for me, it's for our generations ahead. And why should we cheat them of what we've had?
Exactly. And the good of the many, in this instance, does not outweigh the needs of the few. You know, and the few in this instance is the government, wanting to take more power, more control, and want to run a system where it's really just one party. And you don't have a choice. It's controlled opposition most of the time. But again, you know, whoever you're going to vote, or whomever you're going to vote for, you need to understand that it's globalism versus nationalism. That's really the choice. It's not the cosmetics of it. It's not what someone says someone meant when they say something. I can't stand that. So you interpret what the person actually said because it's what you want to color it to be. I'm going to take what someone says at face value. It's their actions that I'm really watching, though. And the actions are to disempower people, to make people docile and subjugatable. That's not what I'm at. I don't want to live in a situation like that. You know, it doesn't even make sense that someone would call someone racist when it's a religion. So that the rhetoric is off, you know, it's off from the get-go. But again, it's like a Pavlov response. And I don't think, well, first of all, Donald Trump didn't say a lot of things that they said he said. Didn't say all Mexicans. And he didn't say, no Muslims come into the country. It's a very, it's a shaded response. I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing who's coming into your country. It doesn't mean they don't come in, but it does mean you know more about them. You don't just drop them off in a bus and not know where they went. That doesn't even, who would be for something like that? But if that came on TV, people who were thinking people, whether you're progressive, conservative, or whatever, would start to question that, saying that that's not right. You know, and building a wall is one method of controlling your border. It's not about racism, it's about control of your border. I'm so happy I don't live so close to the border, because those, I understand the farmers are getting overrun. They're finding all sorts of things on their land. There's nobody to protect them. I don't know how they do it, honestly.
I don't either. It's did you see the article that I, or the post that I did about the Arizona rancher that's being sued by illegals for protecting his for kicking illegal undocumented off of his property?
No. How could you be sued for protecting your own property? That means you don't have property rights anymore?
That's where we've gone crazy. It's on my Facebook page. You ought to check it out. It's,
yeah, I'll have to look at it.
9,000 other people have, so it's just amazing. A rancher being sued protecting his own property.
So the next step is you have to give up your home to house a migrant, because that's what the government wants you to do. If you don't have property rights, if you don't have rights over your own person, then what's that slavery, ultimately, right? I mean, that's what it is. While they wrap it in a bow and call it social justice, in actuality, what you're doing is you're becoming a slave to the system. And you don't have rights. You don't have property. You don't have self-determination. That is anti-human. It's not even anti-American. It's anti-human. And I'm not going to, and I know that most of everybody who listens to my show, I hope, and everybody who listens to the radio station, and then some, if they knew that that's really what was going on, they would stand up. And that's why we're having this conversation, because knowledge is power, and because it's time to wake up, do your own due diligence, have a plan to protect you and your family. And if we do that, then we can stop this creeping removal of our self-determination and our personal rights and our property. That's the end point of that. And on that note, I thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. And I will see you soon.
Thank you, Dr. George. We'll be back next week.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.